Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 265 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Boom indeed, by the way. Boom indeed. Got a great show planned for you this week. We're going to dip back into the archives for reasons that I will tell you about in just a moment. Let's see. The one we're going to listen to here this week from episode 186 back in March of 2014. Emily Noakes of the band Taco Cat stopped by the backyard. We had a fantastic conversation. To this day, one of my favorites. One of my favorite people, by the way. Got to hang out with her and the band backstage at Timber Music Festival this year with Dead Milkmen. And oh, man, it was just great. It was just great. And to see them light up when Dead Milkmen were on the stage, man, they were with me down in the crowd, dance along to Dead Milkmen. It was just great. It was just fantastic. So we'll get to this conversation here shortly. We had a couple of cancellations this week. Man, just a really, really just rough week for your host, Aaron Roden, here. Let me tell you, folks. Let me tell you. Just very, very busy all week this week. And then we were supposed to do a interview with the band Failure. I don't know if you are aware of the band Failure, but I was a huge fan of them back in college. They were big doings back in the 90s. And I was super excited to speak with them, and they reached out to us to do this interview, and I was stoked. And then it just fell apart. Last minute fell apart. Did not get to talk to the band Failure. And then we had something else lined up, and that kind of fell through today as well. So we're posting this oldie but a goodie, folks. Okay. Let me tell you about Friday, though. Let me tell you, let's go back a little bit. Let's rewind just a second, go back to Friday. Driving home, kind of pissed off that the interview didn't work out. And I'm riding home, and I see this patch of gravel coming up. For most of you that know, I ride a scooter. I commute on a scooter to the transit center to catch my bus. So it's not a very long commute. It's only about a couple miles. But I see this patch of gravel, and I always go very slow when I hit this patch of gravel, because when you're on a two-wheel bike, you know, you can slide. You can slide on the gravel. It's hard to kind of stop, right? And so I come up to this stop sign, this patch of gravel's laying right there, and I just did not slow down enough. And I turn my wheel, and bam, sliding out into the intersection. Ooh, scary shit, man. Almost got hit by a car. A car had to veer around my scooter. And that car didn't even stop. He just kept on going. I'm sliding on my hands. And the scooter lands right on my foot. My foot was like straight up and down. And the scooter lands on my heel, if that makes any sense. Luckily, like four people pulled over and helped me get out from under my bike, out from under the scooter. And helped me pick the thing back up. I was bleeding profusely from my hands. I've still got gravel just embedded in the palms of my hands. I knew this day was coming. I knew it was coming because when I bought the scooter, there was a dude at the scooter store that was like, "Wear gloves. Always wear gloves, man. Always wear gloves." And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right. Yeah. I'll be sure to do that." He's like, even if it's super hot out, wear gloves because you're going to crash. You're going to crash someday. It's going to happen. You're going to fall off your scooter, and it's going to hurt. And damn it if he wasn't right. Holy smokes, man. I've still got these little bits of gravel stuck into my hands. Luckily, friends Luke and Kevin and Newman and Tuna, they invited me out to come to the show with them up at the Tulalip Casino. It was Huey Lewis and the News was playing, and so we just proceeded to get shithoused and go watch Huey Lewis and the News. I was not lucky enough to have tickets, so I had to watch it from the sidelines. But it was still a great show, man. It was super fun. And, man, what a way to wrap up a shitty week, right? Crash the scooter, then go up to a casino, and then just party for free because my friends are awesome. So if my friends are listening to this, thank you guys so much. That was awesome. I had a great weekend. And Tuna, she proceeded to basically do surgery on my hand that night. Luckily, I was drunk enough. I don't really remember it. But, man, she got some of the rocks out. Ooh, buddy. A lot of strange looks happening in the nightclub. We actually did it in the nightclub. Friend Kevin was had the phone over it with the little flashlight thing on. Oh, man. Tuna was just going to town on my hand, dude. It's so gross. And people are just looking at us weird and everything. But we got a couple of the rocks out. So that's good, right? That's right? Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Well, let's get into it, shall we? First musical break. We're going to go with, Taco Cat off of their album NVM, which came out a little while ago, of course. This song is called Crimson Wave, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. So stay with us. I hope you guys enjoy this chat. I have fond memories of this one. All right? Okay. Be back in a moment.
Surfing the wave, surfing the crimson wave today. Gonna call in sick to work, I don't care, my boss is a jerk. Can't believe all the pain I'm in, give me white wine and Vicodin. Call my girls, see if they wanna go, take their minds off some flow. So I got a letter on my bathing suit, cause I've got sharks in hot pursuit. Surfing, surfing the wave. Surfing the wave, surfing the crimson wave today.
I don't think you should have to.
I mean, I like it. But like I said, like I was just going to turn the volume down on the phone. And I thought to myself, maybe I should check this one more time. Do I have a little tick mark up on the little, globe symbol? Maybe.
Do I have a notification?
Yeah, hopefully. That's what I was looking for. Notification. You must be a writer. Yeah. You work at The Stranger too, right?
I do.
Yeah. Yes. So what do you do at The Stranger?
I am the music editor of The Stranger.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That helps, being a musician and being the music editor.
Yeah.
Does anybody ever, I asked Troy Nelson this once.
about working at KXP. By the way, Emily Noakes of the band Taco Cat joining me here in the backyard studio. Thank you very much
Hello.
For joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And you're a little sick. You're a little under the weather.
I got a cold. I got the cold.
Yeah, the cold.
The cold.
It has definitely been going around. Like, you can probably hear it in my voice, too, the listener. It knocked me out for, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
And my wife was, like, super pissed because she's like, you're such a pussy. Like, just being a guy. Like, guys, I don't think I'm a pussy.
Well, I think I got it from my husband who, you know, he's had it for about 10 days.
Yeah.
It seems like 2 years into this cold now. But
yeah.
I was very much like, oh, you're fine. And then I woke up today. I was like, oh, now I have it. Oh, take care of me. He's like, nope.
Nope. Yeah, not a chance. Sorry, we got off track there just for a bit. So you work at The Stranger,
Yes. The
weekly alternative newspaper here in Seattle.
That's true.
And you're also in a band.
That's true.
Do people ever come to you and be like, the only reason your band is popular is because you work at The Stranger?
Well,
is that a thing?
When I first got hired, it was a little strange a few of the anonymous commenters,
uh-huh.
which are, like, always so fun to read.
Never read the comments,
like,
right?
Oh, it's because she's in a band. But really, it just makes it so that I don't really talk about my band at all.
Right.
It's, I mean, you know, it doesn't get mentioned because it's
no
too much
promotion,
of a...
Right?
Yeah,
totally. That's part of the sucky. That's like kind of a sucky thing, too. You have this great resource that you could be promoting yourself with, and you can't do it.
Yeah, I'm like, I think that this band I heard of should go on the cover. It's just my band.
Yeah, right.
got a great idea.
Hey, got a release date for you guys. Yeah. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
release for this new album, NVM, which you just told me the meaning of. And it's so awesome. It's so great. Can you bestow that on everybody?
NVM stands for Nevermind. It's tech speak for Nevermind. It was actually Eric, our guitar player's idea.
Yeah.
He gets very brilliant, very stoned ideas, and that was it.
That was it. So. He's like, let's name it after the greatest, one of the most popular Seattle albums ever.
Yeah, wink.
Well, it's a fantastic album. I really like it. Yeah,
thanks.
I like your guys' style. I will say that I wasn't like totally familiar with your work, but once that video for Crimson Wave popped out,
it was
just like, holy shit, this is genius. This is so good.
Oh, that video was so fun to make.
It looks like it.
It was really fun.
How did you get all those costumes?
We just like went to the party store. There's a party store in Northgate that is
the greatest store to be
inside of.
Yeah.
And they were closing and we were just like, no, we need nets and shells. And we
wait a minute. They closed?
Well, they were trying to close for the night.
Oh, okay,
and we
okay.
could not leave. No. Still open.
I love that place.
Yeah. And then a girl named Bobby Rich happened to have like 2 Tupperware containers of beach stuff, just like anything that you could imagine had. And then we convinced our friends to wear shorts in the middle of the winter. It was very cold on that set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you guys do it outside?
No, we did it inside of a big like warehouse-ish building, but
okay.
it was just like kind of a cold space, and there was a lot of downtime in shorts and bikinis and that kind of thing. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you guys play, you guys are like kind of like a surf rock, like you would call it surf rock, right?
Yeah, that song and some of the newer stuff is a little more surf than we've ever gone, for
sure.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should have done
summer feel.
Yeah. I should have done more research and like listened to some of your past stuff too. I know that I've heard it, but like this album, seriously, I've been listening to it a lot.
Thank you.
And I really dig that. I'm like going through a phase right now, like a surf rock phase.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's perfect.
Yeah, especially this weather outside. You're like, no, I'm ready.
Dude, I don't know what it is this year. Maybe it's like now that I finally have a yard. Like, I want to be outside.
Oh, yeah.
Normally, I'm like a normal Seattle person. Like, no, rain all the time. I will stay in and watch movies until my eyeballs fall out.
Right.
You know? But, like, this time around, I am really sick of it.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah, and it even, I mean, it hasn't even really been a bad winter.
Just
either,
the
though.
Wind sometimes, I want to punch. I hate it. I hate it so bad. I hate the wind.
That would be rad if you could punch the wind, by the way.
I feel like that's how my walk to work is, just punch, punch.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, yeah. I ride a scooter in the morning.
Whoa.
We only have one car as a family, and so I have to take a scooter to the Northgate Transit Center from here. And nice. So sometimes it's really raining in the morning and in the afternoon, and it just sucks.
Oh.
Like, it is the worst ride ever.
I could not do
soaking
that.
Soaking wet by
or
the end of it.
Or bike, watching, like, really cool bikers go by looking so healthy.
You know what? Those guys are not cool. Those guys are not cool, Emily. That's all there is to
but
it.
But they look so confident.
They do look so, they do look very confident, don't they? In those tight pants.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Going to work.
Are you originally from Seattle?
I've been here area? For like 10 years, but I was born in Montana, in Butte,
really?
Montana. Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
That's
okay.
Where I came from.
So what brought you over to, I guess, the Northwest?
Well, I was going to school at the university in Missoula for 1 year, and then I decided that I really needed to, like, do some grown-up stuff that wasn't just, like, drinking a box of wine on the campus, which was sort of what everybody did.
Okay, so you weren't doing it alone.
No. It was just like, yay, it's an extension of high school because everyone we know went to the same college.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought a Honda and then decided I was just going to drive it to Seattle. And I didn't know anybody here. I didn't know anything about anything.
How old were you?
I was 19.
Wow.
And I just sort of got off the highway and drove into Queen Anne.
Yeah.
Found a for rent sign, and it was like really cheap back then, you know, like $425 or something. I enrolled at the Art Institute, where I went for 3.5 years and got a degree in graphic design, actually.
So wait a minute. Was this because you just told that story like it was just like, yeah, just rolled into town and did all this shit.
No,
I signed up for school.
Well, I almost went to Cornish. I don't know. I was just like.
But was it part of like a plan? Like it, you must have had like some sort
very
of idea.
Good one.
Really?
No. I thought that I should just go to school. And if someone could just show me where to sign up for that.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah.
You know, like. And I'm still paying back those loans, but I was just like, all right, I will sign this paperwork.
Yeah.
Now I'm a big city girl. This is the biggest city I've ever seen in my life.
Right. Yeah, totally. I'm with you on that one.
It just seemed huge. And and then I stayed for that long. And that actually at the Art Institute is where I met Leela, who is the drummer in our band.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
That's how that all started.
But yeah.
It did kind of seem like it took one day.
Was that kind of scary, though? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you're kind of a small-town girl, right?
It was
terrifying. Grew up that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I knew I wanted to be in the city. Like, there was a point, and I feel very ashamed about it now, where I was like, I never want to see another pine tree again, ever. I don't care about nature. But I do.
Cut them all down.
I do care about nature. I just, you know, wanted to see what else was out there.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. We've had this conversation many, many times on this show, too. Like, I came from a very small town, and, like, man, like, moving here was nerve-wracking for
mm-hmm.
me. You know? Even moving to, like, Ellensburg, where I went to school, was nerve-wracking. That was like a huge town compared to where I grew up, you know? And so I'm always fascinated by people who, like, really just, like, especially at an age like 19 where I was so not prepared to do anything ever, you know? And that's just fascinating to me to, you know, hear about somebody with the balls. No offense. to like pick up and like, you know, totally, you know, change their life at such a young age.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. And I went back a lot. Like, I think I still tried to keep like my high school boyfriend or something. There was like a year where I was just going to Montana back and forth. Like, this is sustainable. I'll just drive 8 hours, like every 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, I have to see my friends.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it took a while to get used to Seattle and didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, yeah, totally. Was it the music that kind of brought you here, or just like it being kind of the biggest city closest to Montana?
It was definitely that it was the biggest city closest to where, you know, I could definitely get back home in a day
doable.
If I had to.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And I really wanted to go to a proper art school, was, I think, the thinking back then. And I really didn't get into the music scene until a few years after I had just been going to school. In fact, I was a little nervous about the music scene here because it seemed like it was very cliquish. Because in Montana, there's not enough people to even have cliques. So everyone has to hang out together and you don't... find, like, you know, three goth people together, like three punks.
You're all
over
in the same band.
You don't have that. You're all together, and it doesn't matter.
The goth guy with the like Schecter, the black jet black Schecter, is playing in the jam band.
Yeah,
along
totally.
With the guy who loves fish,
tie dye guy. Yeah,
So
I was just really impressed with, really nervous about all the kids that looked like they had like, this is the kind of music I like. These are the clothes I wear. Period.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, pick one.
So was that, that was intimidating for you then?
Yeah.
Like, trying to find people to play music with.
I think that Leela was more outgoing than I was, and she passed me a note in class one day that said, she drew this like really gross looking guy reclining in a chair, and it had a speech bubble that said, "I'm bored, how are you?"
That's how you make best friends,
yeah,
right
we
there.
Yeah, we're inseparable since.
That's it. That's fantastic. Oh my god. So where you play guitar, right? And sing?
I don't play guitar.
Oh, you don't.
I know how to play bass, but I don't play bass in Taco Cat. I sing and I play tambourine.
Aha. Aha. Yes.
The tambourine.
Aha. Very good instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's timekeeping.
I wish that I could play guitar, but it's too hurt my, like my fingers don't stretch that way, they just don't.
Hey, you don't have to come up with excuses. This is a safe space. All right,
listen, it's my hands.
The backyard is a safe space. Yeah, we've all got problems here. Yeah.
It's a real sob story.
It is. Yeah, it sounds really sad. So were you always a singer?
Yeah
I
love to sing. I like to do like children's theater when I was really little.
Really?
But I didn't really ever entertain the possibility of singing in front of people when I was older. Like when we booked our first show, I was just like, I can't believe people do this. Like, I can't believe people that aren't, you know, like Britney Spears level.
Right.
Because it was unbelievable to me that someone would want to like book our band.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you weren't in a band before you moved over here to Seattle, or
I wasn't.
Were you singing with you weren't singing with anybody else? Like,
no, I really loved music, and Leela and I would make these epic like Neil Diamond playlists that we would listen to all summer. And she was like, "You're a really good singer." And she was actually jamming with the other members of Taco Cat at the time before there was any band name or anything. She was like, "You should come by and sing sometimes." And I would only do it after, you know, like an hour of getting up enough nerve to do it.
Yeah, totally.
But it was a lot sloppier and a lot, you know, more loose back then. So, but yeah, slowly but surely, we just kept going.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Were your parents, like, does it come from anywhere? Do you have any, like, musical background? Were your parents into music at all or, like, you know, play instruments or anything like that?
One of my first memories of hearing really loud music was leaving the house with my mom to go to the grocery store and saying goodbye to my dad and then coming back in because we forgot something and he had turned up like Led Zeppelin, I think it was, and I had never heard. I was like, "What are you doing? This is crazy. You love music secretly and you're hiding it because you're my dad or something." But later I realized that he had like a great record collection and pretty good taste, and I started getting into like, I don't know, Tina Turner and stuff like that when I was little and singing along.
Who didn't?
I know, right? Yeah. And we had a piano in the house, so I learned how to play piano.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know some basics then?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you still play piano too? Have you ever tried to get back on that?
I've tried incorporating keyboards into Taco Cat before, but it gets in the way of my dance moves.
That's awesome.
So,
I like how you really got your priorities in order.
I know, Sophie's choice with that. So.
Real Sophie's choice. Yeah. Do I dance or play keyboards?
Yeah.
Or play tambourine. I love it. And your guys' live show, I think I saw you guys play at Bumbershoot like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was so fun.
That was on that really cool stage. You had a big screen behind you guys and everything.
Yeah, but that was the first year they had those Jumbotrons.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
That was intense, man.
Yeah.
Were you, like, nervous about that?
Yes, I was.
Like, they're going to see everything.
That's my face. It's too big.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't imagine that.
We went to Extra Pains that day, too, to get a bubble machine. And we were so glad we did because it looked great. We didn't know that screen was going to be there, but bubble machine. We've been looking for the perfect one ever since.
Yeah.
To own, not to rent.
Oh, okay. Have you found one yet?
No. We bought one that created a giant puddle of soap in the Comet last, like, block party, I think.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so.
You have to clean that shit up?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was a hazard.
That's awful. I've got a bubble gun that I'll give you. It's a princess, but it's pink and purple.
Nice.
Yeah, you can have it.
Dang, that's actually a good idea.
I will give it to you. Because it's too complicated for my daughter to operate.
Okay.
Right now. So you guys can have it.
Yes. Bubble gun.
We just can't show my daughter that you're walking out with it. Yeah. Yeah. And you may have to hold it upright because if you twist it, it might pour bubble solution all over your car. So you move over here at the age of 19.
Mm-hmm.
When did you meet, I'm sorry, what's her name again?
Lizzie?
Lila.
Yeah.
You meet Lila and you guys start singing together and drawing pictures of fat, balding men lounging on couches or wherever.
Yep.
When does Taco Cat really start to take form?
That really started to happen, I think, like 2006.
Okay.
We finally got our own practice space at Crybaby. We had just sort of been using other people.
That place.
We still practice. We have had a space like
it's still
every
there?
Single different space there. It's
really?
Definitely still there.
No shit. Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's it is.
Those big. Okay. Here's something we can talk about. Those big. Whoever owns these places, these massive, like, studio spaces with, mm-hmm. like, practice spaces, that was a lot of rhyming right there. but whoever owns these places, these guys, I don't know, do you know the owner of Crybaby?
I do.
You do?
Yeah,
is he a nice person?
It's actually a lady named Lee, and she's pretty
nice.
We have been in practice spaces where they were not nice.
Yeah, okay. Maybe
like,
Crybaby. We
switched around and come back and left and come back. I mean, there's never the perfect practice space in Seattle.
No,
like,
everywhere, I mean, it smells like pee.
Mm-hmm.
Smells like pee, old beer, cigarette butts, and somebody is, you know, there's at least like five people that are living in their studios.
Yeah, that's how it appears.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always a dude with the door open peeing in the bathroom. Just
always.
Like right there.
Always. And there's always pee on the toilet seat.
Yep. Or puke.
Or puke.
Blood.
Yep. Blood. I don't know if I ever ran into that one, but yeah, definitely puke. Maybe a little spot of poo or something like that. Like somebody was like hovering, you know?
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Sometimes there are not toilet seats. They get taken out. I don't know. I don't know how anything gets that bad. How does it get that bad?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. That's what I wanted to ask you. You've been doing this for a long time. You did it a lot longer than I did here in the city of Seattle. So, like, well, I can't figure out, like, what is the business model for these people that own these places? Like, can't they get a janitor?
I know.
Or regularly clean stuff, you know?
It feels like that would be a great idea for everyone involved to have clean bathrooms.
Or just have good ventilation.
Or doors that shut. Yeah.
Right?
That's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Man.
I don't know.
Yeah, I swear somebody has to come up with, like, an idea, a plan, a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
Put it together and then make, like, a really nice studio. I guess it would have to be affordable.
Yeah.
That's impossible. It's not
going to
work.
Maybe the affordability thing. I don't know. It's expensive. I think that at some point there were bands they were trying to have do cleaning around that space in exchange. But I mean,
oh,
that's
really?
Not
for
work.
Like for like breaks on their rent?
Yeah.
Yeah. That ain't gonna. It's not gonna happen, right?
It's not working.
No. hey, let's do this. Let's go to our second musical break. We're featuring music off of the new album, the new Taco Cat album. NVM, which stands for Nevermind, by the way. my favorite song off the album. This is called Bridge to Hawaii, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest today, Emily Noakes of the band Taco Cat. All right, stay with us, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. That was Bridge to Hawaii by the band Taco Cat. And here with me today is the singer of said band, Emily Noakes. Welcome back.
Hello.
Yeah. You didn't go anywhere.
Nope.
I didn't either. It's like time just flew by right there.
Yeah.
A full 2 minutes and 10 seconds. welcome back, everybody. That song was Bridge to Hawaii by the wonderful band Taco Cat off their new album that is available now at anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Where would you prefer people go and buy this album?
Just like Walmart.
She hates trees. She loves Walmart. She's from Montana, people.
No. You know, your smallest little local record store that could.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Or the website, right?
Yeah, the internet is also an option.
I wonder, do they sell the albums at Hardly Arts website?
They do. Yeah.
That seems like a really cool record label to be involved with.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I really like that guy, Jason.
Oh, Jason is the best.
He is great.
Yeah.
We were talking briefly about having them do, like, advertising on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love that label.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen, but they took me out to drinks. And we had a meeting.
Nice.
With me and Jason. It was very romantic.
He is so great.
He is a good dude. Did you ever think you would get to a point where you're actually working with a record label?
I didn't, actually. It's very strange. Our first album was, you know, put out by one of our friends. And it was a real record label, but it was still sort of like...
What was that?
Don't Stop Believin'. Awesome human being named Birdsall runs it, but you know, she was like our friend, so it didn't seem like
quite real.
With Hardly Art, it's so crazy how the amount of work, like the amount of just like tiny little things that you have to get done very like, short amount of time.
And coming on these things, right, when you're kind of sick. And
I feel great now. I'm on all the Dayquil in the world.
Yes.
I hope I'm even, like, talking into this microphone right now. I don't know.
Wait, what was that?
No, but yeah, they're really fun to work with, and you know, right down to like picking out the right color pink for the vinyl. And
yeah,
it's just so fun. It's so, so, so fun.
And even getting to do vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is coming back in a major way. And I imagine this album sounds freaking fantastic on vinyl.
It does.
This is like the perfect type of sound for vinyl, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, was that pretty cool thing to like get your hands on, like something like
yeah.
that showing up and you're like, holy shit. This
when
is
I got
rad.
The test pressing, I danced in the living room to it.
Yeah.
I usually like can't handle the sound of my own voice. Like when we do test recordings and stuff, I'm just oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. But I was, when that came, I was ready to hear it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it sounded so fun and so good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you're pretty happy. You're pretty happy with the product here.
Oh yeah, definitely.
With this album. Yeah.
So excited to get it done finally.
Uh-huh. And you guys are going on tour, right?
Yeah, we're leaving on March 6th. So that's so
it's
soon
up,
that
man.
We're dying of things we haven't done yet.
Oh my God.
Stickers, buttons, shirts. Ah!
Yeah. How long of a tour are you going on?
It's about 5 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Man, is this like the one of the longest ones you guys have been on?
We've done month and a half before.
Oh, you have?
We usually do, yeah, we used to do that like once or twice a year. But yeah, this is the first one in a while now that we have the record.
Yeah, yeah. Do you like it?
I love it, yeah.
Do you love going on tour?
I can't wait. It's just like going on vacation with your best friends.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
kind of for free. Sometimes. If your van doesn't break down.
Yeah, yeah, like exactly. Have you guys gotten to a point where you're like breaking even, at least, on tours?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Oh, good.
That's sometimes
a huge thing.
We can buy, like, a hamburger or whatever.
Instead of eating
ourselves
for free at the bar.
Taco Bell.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Instead of
yeah.
bar peanuts.
Oh, my God. Taco Bell. Yeah. It's too bad there's not Taco Times around the rest of the country.
I know.
Right?
I know.
That would be killer.
Yeah. That would be way better than Taco Bell, but
yeah, yeah. But still, I mean, you know, you get a grilled stuffed burrito. I mean, that is nothing to laugh about, man. That's good stuff right there. I remember when they came out with those, like at the college I went to over in Ellensburg,
mm-hmm.
they had a Taco Bell moved into like the student union building.
Whoa.
And I went down there one day and there was a huge line. I was like, what's this line for? And I was like, this guy turns around and he's like, grilled stuffed burrito. And that changed my life forever.
Wow.
Right there. I got a steak grilled stuffed burrito. It was as big as my neck. And it was amazing.
Have you had the Dorito shell ones that everybody was going crazy for?
Yes. I did, just like maybe a month ago for the first time. And they're super good.
Really?
Yeah,
I have not had
yeah.
one.
They're super good. All but right. I'm not a big like hard shell taco guy.
Okay.
I'm like, you know, I love a flour tortilla.
Me too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
There's this place, Central Market up the street
mm-hmm.
that makes the best fresh flour tortillas.
Oh.
They are amazing.
I will have to pick some up.
You got to go up there after this and go get some because they are fantastic.
I'm so into quesadillas.
Yeah, right? So in high school, did you have like a favorite snack in high school that you would come back, you would come home to and just make like
yeah.
four of something?
Oh, yeah.
What did you do? What was your thing?
Well, either I would eat a whole box of cereal. Just
a whole
like
box.
You know,
wait a minute, what?
You know, you
that's get, a lot of cereal.
You get the milk, you get the, and you just keep sort of trying to even out the ratio, and then you're like, well, I still have milk left, so I should put more cereal in. Too much cereal, more milk. Take it down. I also used to take an entire saltines package and put peanut butter in between each one,
and
pull
just
it off.
What? So it was like a big like
yeah,
like centipede.
You can kind
of
make
a...
it curl a little bit on your plate.
Oh my God!
And it looked so cool. It was like a challenge. It was like the dragon.
That's like a really good idea. That's a fantastic idea. Now saltines are pretty great.
Yeah.
So were you using, like, Jif?
No, Adam's peanut butter. My
oh,
mom
really?
Would never allow Jif in
see,
our house.
See, my mom, too. That used to just drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what I did to remedy that. I would pour syrup into,
oh,
maple
no.
syrup into the jar of peanut butter.
Whoa, that kind of sounds good.
It was awesome. I was mostly high when I was doing that kind of stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, and then I would just eat it out of the jar. It was off, you know, like looking yeah. back on it now, it's like, that's why you were like 50 pounds overweight in high school. You know?
I definitely have an extreme sugar tendency these days because of that. I'm like, Mom, look what you did. You keep the sugar out of the house. Yeah. Now that's all I eat.
Right, right. I actually had a long talk recently with my parents about this.
Really?
Because I'm going through the same thing with my daughter. It's like, well, when do you like incorporate like sugar cereal, right?
Right.
Because she's starting to become aware of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like friends bring stuff to school and maybe yep. something drops on the floor and then it goes Lord of the Flies. You know, the kids go Lord of the Flies on that shit. And she gets a taste of, you know, like Cocoa Puffs or something like that. And now that's all she can talk about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I was talking to my dad about it and he was like, we used to only allow you guys sugar cereal when we went like camping.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he said, even then, it was an awful idea because, you know, you get a taste for it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like blood, you yeah. know, you're like out for blood for the rest of like your time on Earth.
That's true. But then maybe if you're a sort of family that just has nothing but sugar cereal, then maybe your kids will say like, I don't care about this. This is no big deal.
You know, and I think I had friends like that.
Yeah, but you can't know. But then maybe right. they're going to just eat it all anyway.
Yeah. It's maybe they'll hard. Die of cardiac arrest when they're like 17.
Yeah.
Emily?
This is why parenting is so hard.
I love how you get it. You get it.
This is why I just, like, you know, like I have a cat and I have a guinea pig. That's all I can handle.
That's all you can handle, yeah. They don't care about sugar cereal.
Yeah, they know what they eat.
This is a huge predicament for me, though. I don't know. I mean, like you can give a kid sugar, right? Mm-hmm. And you can actively watch their pupils dilate.
Yeah.
Like you are shooting them up with heroin and they will go nuts for like, you know, 20 minutes and then they will crash and it is the worst.
Yeah.
Okay. This is my life now. It's weird. It's weird. I never thought like I would be in this position. Where I'm like raising small people.
Yeah. You know?
It's really strange. It's really strange. Do you think you'll ever get to that point? You ever going to raise a human?
No.
No?
No human raising for me.
That's fine.
It's just never been in the cards. I've never ever felt very maternal, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I love my pets and I love all my friends who are starting to get to the point where they're like, oh, I might go off birth control now. I'm in my 30s. Like,
oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Dang, I'm going to be like a... I'm going to be the aunt that comes and picks up the kids and takes them to, you know, like, deluxe ice cream.
See, you're going to have the fun job. Like, that's yeah. the fun part. That's the totally the fun part. You're like the cool aunt, right?
Yeah.
Like, the kids will, like, love you. They're like, Emily's coming over? Oh, my God, we're going to have so much fun.
Let's dye that hair green.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's what my brother's like that too. And that's totally like, I'm becoming that person. That's just like, I'm going to look at stuff realistically. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be that guy that just goes, you should have children. Children
yeah.
are the greatest thing that will ever happen to you in your whole life. No, what I'm going to be truthful. And I'm going to say, look, children are awful. And they're not awful, but they are little demons.
Yep.
And they will ruin your plans.
Yep.
Like, a lot.
That's true.
I'm speaking truth here, people. I love my child, but I will tell you that she is quite the handful.
Yeah, there's too much Netflix to watch.
Yeah, and now we're going to these parties like we told you in the...
Oh, yeah.
We went to this brunch thing this morning, right? Do you have friends like this where you go over to their house and you're just like, man, we are behind?
Yes, yes.
You do?
So fancy, so put together.
Right.
Yeah.
Like they got their shit in order.
Yeah, and they're looking good doing it, and everything looks good.
And they're going on vacations, like, all the time. You know, they can go to Thailand for a month.
Oh,
they
God.
Can bring their home family, and then they can come back to their Dania furniture. And you're like, ah! Like, I've got wallpaper from 1948 still in my kitchen. Like, give me a break.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want that though.
You don't want that?
No.
You wouldn't want to be like so set in like your career that you could just like pick up and go away for a little while and come back and not worry about a thing. That would be pretty rad.
I don't know. They probably still worry. They probably have weird, really crazy problems. Secret psycho.
Money problems.
Yeah.
Secret psycho.
Or, you know, like, yeah, you could have bodies in the basement. You don't know.
They could be like American Psycho. They're like Christian Bale in American Psycho. They're super obsessed with their hi-fi system and their chainsaw.
Yeah, or they're like mobsters. I've been watching a lot of heist movies. They could have computer codes hidden all over the house. They seem normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you find the stash of gold underneath the floorboards, right?
Oh, they were so put together.
Nazi gold. Oh, my God.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
See? Wow. So don't feel bad.
So you're into heist movies?
Yeah.
You're going through a phase right now.
I'm going through a very severe heist phase.
Have you seen the movie Heist?
Yes, yes.
That is a fantastic one.
Heist is great.
Yeah.
They're all sort of starting to run together, though. Like, there's a very basic formula. I feel like I could write a pretty good heist movie at this point. Just get the twists right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Maybe like three twists.
Like Heat?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
You like draw it out. You do some serious like character development in them.
And then at the end, it's the guy you didn't think it was.
Yeah, 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 totally. Yeah. Yeah. So what's your favorite right now? What do you recommend for a good heist movie?
Oh, what was the best heist I just recently watched? Well, I went back and watched some of the older kind. What's the one with The Usual Suspects?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's a that's a classic.
Yeah, and it's funny because I remember watching it when I was really young, and rewatching it now, it seems so arty or something. Like it.
Really?
It's sort of slow-paced, and there's these points where, I don't know, it doesn't seem as garbagey.
It is
like
kind of
newer
slow,
ones.
Isn't it? Yeah, 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 totally. Yeah. It's not full of stuff. Yeah, I've been noticing that too about movies as well. Like, there's a lot more. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of montage in like 80s movies.
Right.
You know, like getting ready for the big game, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Bad News Bears style, you know, like
totally.
The shitty kids getting good in a montage.
Yeah.
But like, there's a lot of, like, even in, like, action movies now, there's a lot of montage.
So much montage.
Yeah,
I think that's, yeah. And I also noticed, what do you think about movies that you thought were funny and then you rewatched them and they weren't funny anymore? Like Christmas Vacation.
I own it and it's horrible.
It's so
bad
and I feel bad because I feel like I'm betraying did I not know? Or how did the 80s not know?
It doesn't seem to, like, fit together.
And it's what if we're doing that now? What if what we think is funny now is just so dumb?
Well, it will be.
Damn it.
That's how it works. That's how it works, man. Like back in the day, King Kong looked amazing.
Yeah. Right?
The new, well, not the new Peter Jackson one, but the old original King Kong with like stop motion animation and stuff. Like people were blown away by that.
That's true.
And now you go back and watch that and you're like, that looks like shit.
It's insane.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what everything, I mean, like, I think most art is kind of like that, with the exception of maybe music and, like, sculpture or something, you know? Or architecture or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't believe we didn't know what funny was. We think we know what it is now. I just can't believe it.
Well, it's totally going to change. I mean, everybody is really steeped in sarcasm right now, including myself. You know, and you probably know about this as well, working for The Strangers. The Stranger is very sarcastic.
That's true.
You know? I don't know what it's going to be. Like, when my daughter is, like, our age, you know? Like, what is humor going to be like? I'm afraid it's going to be, like, way over my head.
Like really serious?
Either really serious or like so, so sarcastic that it's just unbearable. Like it's just.
What if it gets really earnest and goes back to like the 50s where we're just like laughing at a talking horse?
Like a talking horse?
Yeah.
Or like Laurel and Hardy or something like that. Three Stooges.
It's like this is good, clean humor.
Good, clean. Yeah, yeah. Nobody talks about sex.
Yeah, it's just
anything.
Like.
It just goes back to puritanical kind of.
Yeah.
Conservative America. That would be kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming all the way back.
Yeah, and your album would probably be banned.
It's true. Right? It's true.
You can't write a song called Crimson Wave and sing about periods.
Yeah, we'd be banned.
In puritanical America.
Yeah.
Wow. You took a really long... That was a pretty good tangent right there.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. I feel really good about that.
Dayquil.
It'll take you to places, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Flying.
Totally. So when you started in Taco Cat, was it like a pretty nerve-wracking thing for you? I mean, not having been a singer at all.
Yes, like the most nerve-wracking thing.
Okay, tell me about the first time you're like walking up onto stage to do your first show.
Well, there definitely wasn't a stage. It was at the Asia Gardens Chinese restaurant.
So it was a floor.
In Longview, Washington.
Wow, Longview?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
That's where...
That was the first show?
Half of our band is from, so...
Oh, okay.
We practiced in Eric's parents' garage right before the show, and one of our friends watched us, and I was so irritated that someone was watching us practice because I was so nervous. Like, don't watch me practice.
Did you have to, like, turn around and not face them?
Yeah, and I just sort of stood there. And then later he's like, I thought you just weren't going to move around or anything because you weren't moving during practice.
That's like the worst friend right there.
He was, you know, giving me advice. It was good advice, but he was kind of a theater guy. So he was just like, you need to stand up straighter. I was like, okay.
Oh, my God.
So we got there and it was just the most, it was like a punk show with all dudes. And we're first and we're Taco Cat. And we're wearing matching outfits, too, I think. And I just remember drinking my vodka cranberry drink tickets as quickly as possible and staring at the ground and like...
Were you singing super quietly too?
No, I was sort of yelling. I was yelling more because it seemed less... It was just like, you can't judge me too harshly because I'm just kind of yell singing. My voice is fine. But yeah, we were all so scared. And then we did it.
Was that the first show for, like, other people, too? Like, that their first experience as well?
It was ours for Leela and I, drummer and I. Bree, who plays bass, she had been in a couple other sort of, like, more loose kind of funny bands that didn't necessarily play a lot of shows, but she'd had a little more experience. And then Eric had been playing in bands since high school.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
The police cops, the lollygaggers, the trashies. Shout outs to Eric's old bands. You should really check out the trashies, though. They're
that sounds
funny.
Like a pretty rad. That sounds so like a pretty rad funny. Band right there. Yeah. I want to check that out. I will.
They're great. Yeah.
So super nervous.
Yeah, very nervous, and I still get nervous.
You
like, do? Still, yeah, totally. Every time I get butterflies.
Yeah. But has it gotten less, though? Like, you're able to function.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. Totally able to function. Yeah. And we don't drink as much as we used to beforehand. We've done the blackout, like, group blackout on stage.
Oh, really? Like, everybody sort of like, was, like, so gone?
There have been some Funhouse appearances.
Dude, Funhouse does that to you.
It will do that to you. And it's so fun. And Brian's, like, the nicest person in the world. He'll get you as much coolers of beer, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you play the same song twice in one set.
I remember I played the last time I played at the Funhouse was I had some surgery. Me and my brother went through a bone marrow transplant.
Whoa.
And I gave my brother bone marrow. And it was like super, super
painful?
Invasive and painful.
Ugh.
And so we had this show at the Funhouse, and I was like, every show that we had as a band, we were not a very good band. But it was like, I was still pretty young, and like, I was just like, yeah, this is going to be the show that like breaks it for us, right?
Funhouse.
Funhouse show, there's going to be tons of people there. Like, I invited so many people. And so I was like, I can't cancel, you know. So it was like a week after the surgery, and I was still like having trouble walking. I couldn't really bend over. I had like these huge bandages around my waist and stuff.
Oh.
Because they take it out of the tops of your hips.
Oh, geez.
And so it just looked like I was wearing like an enormous diaper. And I'm like super high on like morphine and Oxycontin and stuff, which was awesome.
Right.
And, but we play this show, and there were, like, four people there. They were in the next band called Woody. And And then I had to leave afterwards, and the guy from Woody, like, pokes his head out after we all got done, like, packing our shit back up, and he was like, "Nice lesberoos, a-holes," and flipped us off and then closed the door.
What?
And we were just like, okay, well, see you, dude. My other band members were just like, well, we're not staying now
for
the
next band.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how the music scene used to be back in 2005 or whenever it was here in Seattle. And now it seems like everybody's kind of like friends and works together and loves each other and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It does seem pretty friendly. Yeah.
You said before when we first started, like it seemed really intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
The music scene over here.
Right.
And do you feel like that has changed?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Once I started, you know, actually meeting people or hearing people's bands, it definitely made more sense, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, everybody's just friends. It's not like a club. It's
more like
a friendship thing. But, yeah, definitely very supportive music scene.
That's good.
These days,
that's good. Yeah. I'm getting that impression.
Mm-hmm.
From like everybody that has come on this show, like everybody like has worked together before. They've, you know, done shows together.
Yeah,
they've appeared
totally
on each other's albums and things like that.
Yeah, Seattle's just small enough and just big enough to where you sort of feels like you,
are
friends with everybody or working on people's stuff.
Yeah. Now, did it take a while for Taco Cat to get to that point?
I feel like we were really lucky. We just played a lot. It was like right off the bat as much as we could. And, we never really had to go through too much, like, you know, terrible, no one will ever come to our show or anything like that. I mean, on tour, there's definitely been those times, Arkansas, why aren't you coming out? I don't get it.
Come on, Arkansas.
Let's do this. But no, as far as Seattle, it's always been, you know, like we kind of zoomed in and found friends that was just like, your band and our band, we're going to play together. You guys are going to come to our house.
Yeah.
We're going to have a basement show. It's going to be great. And it's pretty much ever since then, there's still bands that we played with back in the day that we're still buddies with. And yeah. It's nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good, man. I like that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like music now? I mean, you guys have been at this for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Taco Cat has been together since 2006, you said?
Yeah, 2006 or 7, I think.
Wow, man.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like almost like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. It doesn't feel that crazy. I think that it's because we just would be hanging out anyway.
Right.
So, like, adding the music element is awesome. Like, I kind of feel bad when people have more of a, you know, like, oh, we just hired a new bass player. We don't know who he is. Or he sleeps all day in the van. Like, we don't really talk. I don't know.
Slept with my wife.
He's a dick. But, yeah, I think that we probably wouldn't have made it this long if we weren't just, like, super into each other.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's where I was going with that, too. It's like, usually, you know, there's some sort of breakup that happens, you know, at the, like, the 4-year mark or something like that,
right,
you know, or the 5-year mark. Like somebody is going to rub somebody else the wrong way finally and kind of push the band over the edge or something. But that has never happened with you guys.
No.
Still,
I mean,
same members.
Yeah, same members. And, I mean, at this point, it's like we're siblings.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody's, you know, doing that annoying thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like you just, you know, would never write them off completely. Just like everybody deals with it. Everybody does their own thing. But for the most part, it's just so fun to hang out anyway.
Yeah. So what's it like having one dude in the band?
Oh my God. Eric's a pretty special dude in that he will hang out. And he always says that his spirit animal is a 40-year-old woman, which is really true. He's like so fun and easy to be around. And I think that he has a tendency to get along better with women anyway.
Right.
You know, like his mom and his aunt, and we'll go back to Longview and it's like all these ladies surrounding him. So
yeah.
He's used to it, and we're you know, he's just like one of us, I guess.
Will he be mad at you if he listens to this?
No. I think sometimes he's just one of the girls. He's just one of the gals. Or maybe we're all, yeah, I don't know. But I think sometimes he needs to have a little dude time on tour. You know?
Oh, I'm like, sure, yeah.
We'll get a dude totally. Roadie in there every once in a while, and it's nice. But, yeah.
That's fantastic, man. So are you working on, are you guys working on some new stuff now that that this album's over? Or are you taking a break for a little while on that?
Probably when we get back from this tour, we'll start writing some new songs, get another album going. I got really fixated on the idea of going to Japan this fall. Like I don't know if it'll work.
Vacation or like a...
As a band to go tour there. So
I think you guys would do really well over there.
And I want to go to their cat cafes. Like, yeah. I want to...
Yeah, totally.
I want everything...
Wait a minute. Back up. I thought I knew what you were talking about, but then it just registered what you said. A cat cafe? What?
You know, they have those cafes where you can just hang out with cats.
Are you serious?
Yes. You just go in, you order a coffee, and then a cat.
This is going way too far. Like the whole like cat meme thing is going way too far.
It's so that it's for people that you know can't. If you live in a very big city and you live in a very tiny apartment, you can't have a pet. So you need to get your pet fix at the cat cafe.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're like a lot of these.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. See. Feel like we could get some kind of sponsorship.
I think that would be an amazing photo shoot opportunity as well.
At the very least.
Yes. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what's the rest of the band think about this?
Oh yeah.
You think you're going to get this going?
They would love to. We all just have to like, we're all very indecisive and it's hard for one of us to be the leader. Mm-hmm. And we think it's because three of us are Libras. And the other one's a Gemini, which are all like halfway signs.
Yeah, right.
So most of the time it's like, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. It's like, I know what you I pick. Don't want, but I don't know what I do want.
Do you guys want Italian? No.
No, gross. God. Pick something better. when it comes to that, hopefully we can get, you know, maybe I'll step up and do it.
There you go. Be a leader. Be a leader.
Passports now.
Get everything ready.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, Emily, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. This has been a lot of fun. I am like Eric in that I get along with women pretty well. Like,
it's because they're the best.
They are the best. I don't know where I was going with that. I was going to say, like, I usually just ended up in the friend zone. Right in high school, I was always just in the frickin' friend zone, man.
Yeah,
it was a bad place to be, but I had a lot of good girlfriends.
Yeah, see, there you go. Maybe you could have formed a band.
Damn it! If I only didn't grow up in Paulsbow.
Oh yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you once again,
and congratulations on the new album.
It's thanks a lot.
So good. Let's plug your wares.
Oh, yeah.
Where can we find out more about you? Where can we find out about the tour?
We have all a really hot website. It's called tacocat.com.
It is a pretty great website.
TACOCATDOTCOM.com.
.com is spelled out. tacocat.com is spelled out.
And we have our tour dates up there.
Yeah.
And you can buy the album at Hardly Art or at your local record store, most of them, hopefully. Yeah. Ding, ding.
Will it have like a nationwide release?
I think so.
Yeah.
I am not actually for sure on anything. But yeah, it'll be available online also.
Look for it.
The CD is really cool. It has a yin-yang CD face.
Yeah.
And we still have a few bubblegum pink vinyls. Only the first 250 are those. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Limited number. But there will be more vinyl then.
Yeah, and it'll be black.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, totally. Thank you again, Emily.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun talking with you. And you can find out more about us at air-raid.net. You can keep in contact with us on Twitter and Facebook. You got Twitter and Facebook for Taco Cat?
Yes, we do. We have a Facebook, and we also have the Twitter says Taco Cats with an S at the end. We didn't know what we were doing when we made it, so just got to add that S for some reason.
Yeah, there you go. Go and follow Taco Cat, will you? And follow us at Air Raid Net. Do that, okay? Hey, you can also find out more and listen to the whole archive episodes. Let's see, what is this? Episode 186? 186? All of our past episodes with people like Macklemore, Pete Holmes, Mike Birbiglia, Aisha Tyler, Emily Noakes of Taco Cat. Come on. Chris Walla, Death Cab for Cutie. Come on. It's all there at the archives page at www.air-raid.net. Go and check it out. We love you. Live show coming up March 29th. Young Evils, Derek Sheen, and super surprise musical guest. Get your tickets now, $4. Get it there at the website. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to go out today with the song Snow Day by the band Taco Cat, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one, everybody. Everybody. And there's nothing wrong with it, nothing to